Hello, respected viewers. I'm George from Ireland. Well, this is about Ben Robert Smith, who's Australia's most decorated soldier and said to be the tallest man in the Australian Army. Well, was. He's been a civilian for a few years. So, Mr. Robert Smith was born 47 years ago in Perth, Australia, the son of an army judge advocate, so grew up in a bookish, middle-class household. His grandparents had immigrated to Australia from the United Kingdom before the Second World War. And when he was born in the 1970s, some Australians of British stock looked down on other Australians of other ancestry, called them WOGs. So he had a privileged upbringing. He very much had the inside track. But he was a bit short of the grey matter. He struggled academically. He's a veritable giant at 202 centimetres. So he excelled sport because of his reach and his astonishing muscularity. So unusually for a boy from a bourgeois background, he did not pursue higher education and he enlisted in the army at the age of 18. But his military abilities led him to him being invited to try out for the Special Air Service, the SAS. And the SAS's motto is "Who Dares Wins." So the Australian SAS is a copy of the British SAS, which was founded in 1942 in the Western Desert for these audacious attacks behind enemy lines and so on. Despite the word air and special air service, it's not particularly to do with aviation, though they do sometimes parachute in. There's a special boat service, and I don't know if that's especially related to aquatic attacks. Anyway, so the SAS, they're just ultra elite for their physical ability and their psychological toughness. So they have this weeks-long selection involving extremely long runs, carrying very, very heavy rucksacks and hours of grueling push-ups and sit-ups and all the rest of it. So they have to have seemingly superhuman endurance, stamina, as well as explosive strength and so forth. I remember reading that one of the things is they've got to get to certain trig points carrying their rucksack full of rocks. And if they cheat, if they're taking some rocks out, they're disqualified. It's also about honour, honesty, being a team player. But if they don't get to this place by a certain point, they're disqualified, but they're not told what the deadline is. And some of them can't cope with suffering so much, not knowing whether it's all in vain because they've already failed anyway. And of course, there's a lot of uncertainty into war. Are they going to achieve their objective? How many are out there? Are the reinforcements going to arrive or not? And you have to be able to handle that. So it's psychologically incredibly grueling as well as physically demanding. And part of the selection is them being pretend captured by SAS soldiers who interrogate them as the enemy would, stripping them naked, blindfolding them, handcuffing them, aggressively questioning them, men being seen nude by women as well as men, insulting remarks made about their testimonials and so on. So that can break some men psychologically, being put in a cold room in stress positions for hours with that very high-pitched screeching white noise played non-stop, given water so they don't die of hydration but no food. Can you take it? Well, I couldn't take it for a second. And the constant, obviously the candidate's reminded he can opt out of selection any time, get warm, get a shower, get a meal. Does a person have the strength of character to go on suffering for a cause? Anyway, so that's the SAS. And remember, we're going to talk by Andy McNab. My God, it's 30 years ago. He's actually not a very big guy at all, but hard as nails. And said it's not primarily about killing people. The SAS were to do that. It's they'd simply fire missiles, but they don't. The SAS are often there to observe things, what no one else can do, or delicate tasks like sort of rescue missions and so forth, or maybe even snatching whatever a person. Okay, so they rely on stealth and surprise. They try to avoid being detected by the enemy. Usually they only open fire if something has gone badly wrong and they can't retreat without opening fire. So anyway, but people join the armed forces of their country because they're attracted to the career, the camaraderie, the sense of purpose, the physical fitness, the patriotism, the financial benefits. And sometimes they didn't have a family. This is a family for them. And many military personnel don't want to kill people, and they opt to serve in units which are not directly linked to that, in the pay corps, intelligence, in logistics or whatever. But there are a few who delight in violence, are spoiling for a fight, and they genuinely take pleasure in killing people. And there's the US Army motto, born to kill. But I mean, so some people with the SAS, they genuinely want to kill people. Might be psychopaths can control it, are not going to kill Joe Average, but either savor it or at least neutral. most people would feel deep distaste, really wouldn't like to do it, especially at close quarters. But anyway, Robert Smith, he rose up the ranks of the SAS, well, not very far, and he got to corporal. But there's no doubting his courage, his skill at arms, his extraordinary athleticism, but he seemed to lack the leadership qualities to go higher than corporal. Perhaps there's sufficient literacy, because there's obviously paperwork involved in officership. He served with distinction in Afghanistan. Remember, Australia troops in Afghanistan from 2001 to 2021. Australia deemed its relationship with the United States to be crucial, and therefore it participated in the International Security Assistance Force in Afghanistan, as well as the coalition willing in Iraq. Now, there were some in Australia who wholeheartedly agreed with the US mission in both countries. The then Prime Minister John Howard was one of those. So by all accounts, Ben Robert Smith is fearless. And his comrades commented his reckless disregard for his own safety, his contempt for danger. And maybe that's what you want in a special forces soldier. But he might not have viewed slaying people in war as a regrettable necessity, but as a treat to be relished. I don't know. But, you know, some people are thrill killers. But his equanimity about his own life might have extended to others, just not valuing human life at all, including his own. And he didn't appear to have the normal range of emotional responses, as in grief, happiness, terror, tranquility, remorse, guilt. Perhaps these are some of the traits of a psychopath. But I mean, I suppose you need people in the Special Forces who'll kill, you know, like that and not be upset about it, not be conscience stricken. But anyway, the Australian military police was eventually inundated with reports about Robert Smith, some from comrades in the Australian SAS. And they weren't complaining about killing enemy combatants in a fight. Everybody accepts that that's lawful. Even those who oppose Australia's involvement in the Afghanistan conflict, they recognise, okay, soldiers kill or be killed, that's it. The Australian soldiers, they denounced Robert Smith for deliberately killing civilians when he was certain that they were civilians. And he appeared to have killed people out of sheer bloodlust. It might have been tinged by racialism, by Islamophobia, this desire to murder defenceless. Anyway, after 17 years of seemingly meritorious service, Ben Robert Smith, he left the army. He had a business career, was in the Army Reserve. Anyway, in 2017, an Australian newspaper reported that Robert Smith was a serial killer in uniform. And Mr. Robert Smith took out a libel action. They said they had defamed him. He'd fought honourably. He'd only killed Taliban fighters. A court found that the newspaper statements were substantially true. That meant that the statements had been proved to the civil standard, more likely to be true than not. That's not the criminal standard, which is proved beyond all reasonable doubt. Now, one of the allegations is that in 2021 in Afghanistan, he handcuffed a Taliban suspect and kicked him off a cliff. The guy fell to his death. The man was unarmed. He wasn't trying to escape. It was cold-blooded murder, and it was done out of sheer sadism. There's another incident in 2012 when Ben Robert Smith allegedly ordered men under his command to murder a geriatric Islamic preacher, despite the man being unarmed and posing no danger to the SAS. So killing prisoners is expressly forbidden under the Australian military code. The idea is make surrender as attractive as possible for the enemy, so then you don't have to fight, then you're not at risk because they've just given up. Another thing is a prisoner can be a fruitful source of intelligence. And if Australia treats prisoners of war humanely, it's more likely that the enemy will treat their Australians decently if they're captured. Moreover, enemy POWs can be exchanged for Australians who've been captured. So Robert Smith is married with children. He had an extramarital affair, and then it's alleged they beat up his mistress. I don't know if that's true. Anyway, so Australia's taking a long, hard look at itself, and this doesn't reflect any discredit on most Australians. And, you know, well done to those who had the moral courage with his own ranks to denounce him. Because they say, oh, well, we've got to close ranks. He's one of our own. And the trouble is that lets people get away with war crimes because of this blind loyalty, because having solidarity, favouring that over human rights and justice. I know a war cannot happen without people being killed. That is accepted. But there are laws of war, and there long have been. Australia has long boasted of its adherence to the Geneva Convention and the Rome Statute of the International Criminal Court. Australia sat in judgment on others, such as the Tokyo War Crimes Trial, as the International Military Tribunal for the Far East. Therefore, Australia is obliged to abide by its own avowed standards of legality. So a war cannot mean that soldiers entitled to kill anyone, anywhere, anytime, anyhow. Anyway, so Mr. Robert Smith's trial is going to open.